we got a couple of guys that have an awesome revelation they want to share with you. Wayne's ready? Praise the Lord. Wayne is going to share. Wayne is from California. And Wayne and I have been talking for a couple of years now about building a station out there that would actually reach all of the high-density population, which is some of the highest in the country, down the West Coast, with a piece of property that he's buying. And Wayne just got a revelation I want him to share with you that's just kind of astounding. Really, it is. It's kind of a confirmation, really. So come on, Wayne, and share with us.
Yes, as David said, I've been in escrow. Actually, I just pulled out the papers, and it started November 28th, so there's your 28 again, 2005. I really wasn't looking for, I was just looking for property north of L.A., not for any particular purpose, just that I like the area, and which is driving around is mainly a just a sightseeing day. I came across this owner of some land out there. It's kind of out to, you can call it the wilderness. It's out in the country out there. And because he had a for sale for sign on his house. And he told me how much he wanted for that, and I go, well, I'm not looking for anything like that. I'm just looking for like 20, 40 acres, something like that, something affordable. And he goes, well, he's got 266 acres over the hill over there. And I spent, okay, well, that's nice. That's a little more than I was thinking of also. But the old guy there, he was the father-in-law watching the property, actually. And I gave him my card, and the next day he called me, and he says, "Hey, if you want to get this property, I'll give you a real good deal. I'll get low down, and I'll finance it." So I thought, "Wow, I don't have to go to a bank," and I wasn't going to go to a bank anyway. I'm done with that. I've been trying to buy this property for 2 years. The reason is because he sold some property, portions of the 266, which used to be more. I think it was around 300. He sold off some of the property to another man that is a conservationist, and he's making corridors, environmental corridors out there, land that nobody can touch forever, supposedly. And this guy had an option to buy this 266 acres. Well, the option ran out in September of 2005. And so he says, "Wayne, you can buy it now." So we went into escrow, and this man's name came up on the title. Just because he had an option to buy, he had no vested interest in the property. This guy is about 94 years old. He's like a land baron, and he just wanted to tie it up. And so all he needed to do was sign a quitclaim. He had no, like I said, no vested interest. He had no power at all in owning that property. But his name was on the title, so it wasn't a clear title. And so it's been this long. It's, another year and a half. He wouldn't sign it. They said, "We're taking you to court, blah, blah, blah." And I'm just standing back, and I'm going, "Lord, whatever. I don't have to pursue this." So I just waited, and finally he did sign. And I know God hardened his heart for this to last this long. So in the meantime, I've been talking to Dave about, when you guys were advertising, the micro stations to put up in places, and I thought, wow, that'd be a great place to do that. Even though the electricity is a little farther away, I'm a solar contractor, and I actually have a whole system that I could use, wind generators, things like that. Also, the power isn't that far, but it would be a little pricey to get it over there. But it can be done. I was kicking it around with Dave, and so here we are to the present day. And I was going on Google Earth, And I was looking, and I've done that before. I've seen the property from satellite before. And, you know, just looking at it, looking at the roads and everything that leads to it, the hills surrounding it, did an elevation check, you know, to see how, you know, radio waves would work. I did it a couple days ago, and I looked at this property, and there is a an image on this property. It's rather graphic, and I don't know why I didn't see it before. It's like the mysteries being revealed in the Word. You know, there's so many things I didn't know in the Word before that I know now. Well, this popped out just like that. It's a baby, a child being birthed out of the mountain. And it's a beautiful baby. It's a perfect baby. It's got an eye, and it's looking, I think, north. It's got a crown on its head, and there's a pyramid above the head. Dave thought that was significant. And I was just astounded. And so I called Dave and I go, Dave, you know, I need to send you somehow this image. I had trouble saving it and sending it, but then I figured it out. And he saw it, and, you know, he agreed. I mean, he saw the baby right away. You know, it's just a revelation of the man-child coming. And I think he's going to put it on the site, so because it's not just for me to look at. And it's, you know, there's nothing in that dirt or those rocks. It's the image and what we do with it. It's the message coming out of that image that you really can only see from space, you know, from about, you know, well, you can see it at 20,000 feet and you can see it at 5,000 feet. So I sent it to Dave, and you know, he emailed me back and said, "Yeah, I see it. I see the baby. It's you know, it looks good." And I was about ready to email him back again, and I was looking at the picture again, and it's a white and kind of dark colored area. There's a lot of white rocks, and so it's very, very graphic. It's not like a bunch of mountains that you have to kind of pick out something. It's very graphic. I saw a figure under the baby, and this baby is probably half mile long, if I was to judge from looking at it. But under the baby's head and back, I mean, perfectly, there's a line from the baby's head, and it goes down to its neck, and then it has a rounded back, and it goes into the mountain. And there's another shape taking that line, and it's a lamb. It's a beautiful lamb holding up that baby. It's got a mouth, a faint eye, and it's beautiful. We're going to put it, I think he's going to put it on the site. When I first got onto that property, there was a cross, a little cross that somebody had put on the property. The owner was showing me around, and he saw the little cross. It was kind of on top. Actually, if you look at the picture, it's right on top of the lamb's head. he goes, you know, he just looked at the cross, and he goes, "Wow, a cross." And he didn't know how they got there, and he didn't put it there. Just a little cross, and it was a nice, well-made cross. It was only about a foot high. It was just stuck in the rocks. And so I just, you know, I take things like that as steps towards confirmations of you know, making a pursuit like this. I was on the property, a month later or so, and looking around, and I said, "Lord, you know, if you really want me to pursue this property, you know, show me a rainbow." It was kind of a dark day, you know, a cloudy day. And so I, you know, continued walking around and started driving down off the little hills there and around. And as I came around, just about ready to leave the property, there was a double rainbow just covering, just going from one end of this valley to the other, like below the mountains. I mean, it was just beautiful. And my son also had a dream of, you know, either owning or dwelling at a place with a bunch of rocks and some kind of a house there. So anyway, those are three things that I've, you know, confirmations before I even saw these images. But these images are just amazing. And like I said, it's what you do with them. It's what you get from them. It's what we hear the Lord saying through them. Just like the Bible, you know. That's just a bunch of ink and paper until somebody starts opening it up and reading the scriptures and letting that word abide in them. This is, you know, it's not nothing less than a sign of the man-child being birthed on this earth. I believe, you know, as we all know, it's happening or it's on the verge of happening. This is definitely a sign that it's happening. And the lamb under the back of the baby is, you know, like I said, I just discovered the lamb yesterday, so I haven't had a lot of time to you know, ponder and read a lot of scripture and just hear from the Lord, you know, all the things he's saying. But I know the man-child is being born through this ministry and being spearheaded through unleavened bread. I really believe that because I've never heard, you know, the words of life like I have here my whole life. And I know that all of us, you know, all of us wonder, are we going to be part of the man-child, you know? I believe we are. We might not be an apostle, a teacher, an evangelist, a pastor, but we're going to be part of the flock. And we're going to have the Word of God abiding in us. And even if we can't lay a foundation like Dave, with all the scriptures and supporting the, you know, the great truth that teaches us to know what's our right, that we can be free from sin, it's putting the Word of God in us. We are the man-child. I mean, we can attain to it. If, you know, God said throughout all the Old Testament and the New Testament, if you keep my commandments, you know, these blessings will follow you. If you are free from sin, if you believe that you can be free from sin, you know, we will become this man-child. Because if we're free from sin, that means the Word of God abides in us. We know right from wrong. We know what judgments to speak when God says to speak them. We know what words of comfort to speak. We know what to receive, what not to receive. We know the enemy. The enemy hates this man-child. I don't think the enemy even knows, you know, since the man-child has probably not revealed it, it probably doesn't even realize how potent this man-child is. But it probably knows that it's a corporate body. But the apostate church, they have no idea. The devil, I think, just sits in those pews and laughs at the church, thinking that the Antichrist is going to be some man somewhere. He's just holding his hand in his head and just snickering and looking down. I can just see him doing that. But we're the ones that's going to bruise his head. Because, you know, his heel, the, you know, he bruised Christ's heel, but we're going to crush his head. And that's what I see in this image. Like I said, it's not for me. It's for the body of Christ that love the truth and want to walk in it, know the Word. When Dave and they mentioned crying when they had revelations, you know, I had to cry when I saw this. And to know that I've been walking around this property and pursuing it for 2 years to see this sign, even if I don't buy it, or even if it fell through or didn't happen. You know, this is just a sign in the earth. The scripture talks about sign in the heavens, signs in the earth. And so, confirmation that, you know, we are on the verge of that man-child. So that's about it, because this has only happened in the last few days, and I've printed it out and I look at it and I shake my head, and we're not to worship it, obviously. The world, the apostate church, would take this and put it on their television and say, this baby looking up at our satellites, so give to us, And you probably know who would say stuff like that. But no, this is a gracious picture, a revelation out of the ground that God has, I believe, brought in this last time. And maybe there is going to be a radio station on this property. They seem to think the lamb and the baby are looking up at the mountain. That's in God's hands. So that's my testimony about that. Hopefully it gets on the site and comes out pretty good. And I'll turn the mic back over to you, Dave.
Wow, Wayne, that was really something. I'm sitting here looking at these pictures here. And what's so astounding is the baby is a different color than the property around the baby, so that it sticks out so plainly. I see two eyes, a nose, a mouth, and a fat little cheek. And it's shaped just like a baby. Its body proportions are all right. It has a crown on its head. This baby does. It's laying on its back, and it's being birthed out of the bottom of this mountain, which the mountain represents the kingdom of God, doesn't it? The woman in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, is the kingdom of God. That's God's people. And the baby is birthed out of that woman, you see. So, and also, you can see an arm. This baby's got an arm that it's reaching up. It's got its hand right there beside its left cheek. There's fingers on the hand. I tell you, this is just no way God didn't make this thing. It's just awesome. It's awesome. And the baby is on its back, being birthed out of the mountain. It's looking at the mountain. And like Wayne said, there is a lamb's head and neck underneath the baby, supporting the baby. Actually, the back of the baby is the top of the lamb's head. There's a line there of one coloration, and suddenly it changes to a whiter, lighter coloration, like a lamb would be. And the lamb's nose and head is supporting the baby's back to be birthed. You can see the lamb's mouth. You can see the lamb's eye. You can see the lamb's ear on the side that's facing you. It's just astounding. And over the head of the baby, there is a pyramid. You can see it plain as day. You can see the light side of the pyramid, where the light is reflecting off of it. And you can see the dark side, how it's a triangle on both sides. You can see that very plainly. And I'm just thinking, the pyramid, of course, is a timeline. It's a prophetic timeline that God gave to mankind. You're a midden. Revelation measurements. That's what the pyramid is. It's a revelation of time by measurement. And it speaks, of course, from the time of the beginning of history through the time of Christ. Gives the exact time when Christ came on the scene. Passages in the pyramid. And so... no doubt the exact time of the man-child's birth is there too, because there's that pyramid. It's pretty plain. I asked Wayne, I said, Wayne, what's that look like on the ground? And he says, it doesn't look like anything. I've never seen any pyramid on the ground there. It's just the way the light is reflecting off of the rocks there and the countryside there. And it's just amazing. It really is amazing. There's absolutely no doubt that this is a sign from God. Now, I can't say what it is, other than the prophetic fact that this baby is about to be birthed out of the mountain, out of the kingdom of God. You remember the stone that rolled down out of the mountain that struck the image of the beast in the feet and crumbled it to pieces, right? Well, this is a similar revelation to that. This baby is being birthed out of this kingdom of God on earth, the first fruits of the kingdom of God on earth. And the lamb, which represents grace, the Lord just reminded me when I saw this, you know, that the lamb represents that this man-child is coming forth because of God's grace. Yeah. And Brother Carl, he was looking at the baby, and he saw in the baby a lion's head. I'm looking at it right now. It does look like a lion's head. You know, like the lion of the tribe of Judah, you know? Very, very interesting. Very interesting. The proportions, the neck of the baby, everything is just right. You can even see a shadow underneath the back of the baby's head, between the neck of the baby and the lamb. The head touches the lamb, his back touches the lamb, but you know how the neck kind of caves in a little bit below, between the head and the back. And there's even a shadow there, right over the lamb. It's just really astounding. Nobody could have put that there but God. Absolutely. And we believe in a sovereign God anyway, don't we? So that's not a real stretch for us, isn't it? Wow. Awesome. What we're going to do take a before and after shot, you know, and take a pencil and go around the lamb, and take a pencil and go around the baby and the pyramid, you know, and maybe put those shots before and after on the side. I'm going to get it. We need to get a better picture than what I got. I blew it up and, you know, page size, and it's kind of grainy looking, but we'll see if we can't do that and put it on site. You know, I mean, and we've been talking about it. Wayne and I have been talking about this for the last year and a half or 2 years, I guess, putting a tower on that mountain and a transmitter there with an AM station, we figure, which would reach from Los Angeles, below Los Angeles, actually, probably, you know, 1,500 miles below Los Angeles, all the way up to maybe that much above San Francisco, which is some of the highest density population in the United States. It would just be awesome, folks, to be able to reach those people with an AM station. And anyway, we've always just left it up to the Lord and waited to see what the Lord was going to do. And also the Lord, you know, provided us that piece of property there in Pennsylvania on a 2,400-foot mountain. And we've started on, you know, getting the license on that and the engineering specs and stuff on that. And so we'll see what the Lord will do. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you for showing us that. If nothing else, we know it's a revelation of the soon coming man-child by the grace of God being born in this kingdom. That's just awesome. The Lord is full of signs. You know, the Bible says in Acts 2 and 19 that there'll be signs in the heavens above, and listen to this, and on the earth beneath. Signs on the earth beneath. You know, that makes it sound like in the heavens above and on the earth beneath, it makes it sound like it could even be a sign on the earth seen from heaven. On the earth beneath. Well, this is certainly a sign on earth seen from heaven. Recently, I looked at signs out in the ocean, pictures that were taken of the ocean floor, how they had seen pictures in the ocean floor that God had put there. And you know what, folks? There's a lot for us to learn. I'm telling you, our God is sovereign. There's not a rock out of place on this earth, you know. That's a very rocky territory there, and Wayne has said he's had kind of mini-mind visions of people flooding out of Los Angeles and out there into that country, escaping some kind of catastrophe in Los Angeles and out on that property. And he said he felt like he saw, you know, travel trailers and Winnebagos and, you know, that kind of stuff all parked out there. Well, what do you know? Who knows, you know? But we do know there's some catastrophes coming to those places. Sure would be nice to get a word in there to them before that, right? Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. The Lord is doing wondrous signs and wondrous works. We praise your name, Father. We ask you, Lord, to just show us, reveal to us, Lord. You've given us sign after sign, you know, the rainbow and the cross and the baby and the lamb. You've given us all these signs, Lord, but just talk to us plainly. Show us what you want. Provide the way. Open the door. All these things, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Well, I guess, is Kevin there? Kevin Ray is going to come on and share a revelation. Kevin is a producer of the Unleavened Bread Bible Study TV programs. And he has been working night and day on this thing for a long time. And we had a catastrophe here the other day. I'm going to let him come on and tell you about it. It was a catastrophe, I'm telling you. But the Lord came through and did a miracle. And I'm going to let Kevin share that with you. Come on, Kevin.
Praise the Lord. Just wanted to come on and just give you a testimony about what's happened the last few days here. As David said, we've all been working here in Utah, Michael and Philip and myself and others, to get these videos done for the conference videos. We're redoing those with some front-end intro and outros. We're also doing the videos with scriptures, intros, outros for the one-hour Bible studies. And so there's been a lot of work done, and any of you who've done nonlinear editing understand that there's a lot of hours of video work, a lot of space that's taken up because video files are pretty huge. And so in order to do that, we had to buy an external hard drive, about a 500 gigabyte hard drive, just to hold the data that would be used. And while things are in flux and things are changing, it's not so easy to basically back up to DVD. It just doesn't make sense, and you're kind of at a risk at that point. To make a long story short, though, just trucking along, getting all the videos done and just preparing them and working on them. I had Sunday, I called up Dave, and we were talking about some video issues and just some things about the video stuff. And I wanted to pray with him about walking more in the Spirit. You know, the Bible says if we walk in the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And I wanted to do more of that. And so we prayed a simple prayer, you know, and, well, soon enough, you know, I didn't realize at the time, but a test was going to be coming, and it was going to be the next day when I woke up to turn on the computer and fire up the nonlinear editing program to start doing some video editing, and to come to find out that my external hard drive had a catastrophic read-write error. And I've been with computers 20-plus years, and this was the kind of error that basically is irrecoverable. Basically, your data's gone. You have to pretty much send the drive back to the manufacturer, and then there's even just a slight chance that they would be able to even recover the data. Well, one, we didn't have the time to do that. Two, it was catastrophic. It was one of those things that basically took the wind out of me when I saw it. And so I called my wife, Holly, in the room. I said, Holly, I said, you're not going to believe what. And I explained it to her, and, you know, I was probably as white as a ghost. And said, well, why don't we lay hands on it? I said, okay. I was thinking about calling David and just praying and just telling him what was going on. And so we decided to call David up and tell him the situation. And so we all decided that we were going to be in agreement, and we're going to lay hands on the hard drive, and that the Lord was going to heal it. So we did that, and we got off the phone, and Holly and I needed to go run some errands, and David got off the phone, and he was searching the Lord, asking him what we should do and so forth, and so we went out and ran our errands. Well, as soon as I got in the truck, the devil started trying to get me to receive the bad report. It's not going to work. The hard drive's crashed. You have hundreds of hours of all this work you're going to have to do over and over again. And praise God, he gave me the grace to understand it was an attack. It was the devil trying to get me to receive the bad report. So I just kept saying, no, I rebuke you, Satan. I'm not going to receive the bad report. The Bible says when we pray, believing we have received, we shall have it. And so it was a very ferocious battle all the way to our errand and back. Well, when we got back to our apartment, we came in. I sat on my couch, and we have some scripture framed up on the wall, and one of the scriptures in particular is Mark 16:7-18, talking about, and these signs shall follow them that believe. And there's a part in there that talks about where they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And as I was looking at the scripture, the Lord switched the words around, and I saw, as I looked at the wall, and he shall lay hands on the disc, and it shall recover. So it was the Lord just trying to help me not, to stand fast and not waver, you know, confessing the faith and so it wavers not. And so I said, wow, that's pretty neat. And so I sat there for a little longer, and Holly was getting prepared to cut my hair, I'll wait till after Holly cut her hair, and then I heard the Lord, it was practically audible. Basically, he said, before he did that, he gave me a thought of one of David's testimonies where David...
Kevin, we dropped you there. You might want to start over again, and we'll try it again. No, just about 5 minutes back there, so if you can. You know, folks, we didn't stand around begging God to fix this thing. We just took authority. The Lord gave us authority. We just commanded it. In the name of Jesus Christ, we commanded that thing to be fixed in Jesus' name. And next time Kevin tried it, it was. Glory be to God. He's awesome. Can you get Kevin back there? Okay. Let's see what he has, the rest of what he has to say here. You know, those movies that he's making, those videos he's making, they're 12 and a half gigabytes each. Just a one-hour program, 12 and a half gigabytes. That's the animation for the intro and the outro and the recording that we make here. And Kevin edits those very carefully, and the sound and everything, you know, and puts the intro and the outro on it, and goes through and puts all the verses in it. And it's a lot of hours of work. It's very big, too. And so to lose a bunch of those would just be kind of catastrophic, setting us back months. And besides, the feeling of having to go back over the same territory is just, it's just overwhelming. I remember when I lost my book one time like that, and by the grace of God, he gave it back. But we had lost a hard drive, and by the grace of God, we got it back. It was just awesome. I remember when Kevin called me, you know, I could just feel and hear that his heart was on the floor, thinking about all that time he'd put in that, and thinking about having to do it over again, you know. Kevin, you there? Okay.
Okay, brother. Sorry about that. We got blown out of the study there. I don't know where I left off, but I think David kind of covered it. In a nutshell, we laid hands on that hard drive, and it worked, and it defied physics. And I've never seen anything like it in my life. I mean, it's amazing. Now, the Lord helped use it to increase our faith, one, and also to really understand that we are going to be tested. We are going to be tested when it comes to particular trials and so forth. And so we just need to stand fast. And the Lord was testing me on that. And he used the devil to do it. So praise the Lord. And I don't know, David, I mentioned this, if this got on before I got blown off the hair, but you got some scripture also from the Lord. I don't know if you shared that or not yet, but anyway, I'll give the mic back over. David got some scripture from the Lord about just praising him. So anyway, just God bless you all, and just hope that's an encouragement that the Lord can do anything. There's nothing that he can't do. And so we just need to trust the Lord and stand on the rock. God bless you.
I think that was Isaiah 63:7. I will make mention of the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed upon us in the great goodness towards the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed upon them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. And of course, my Bible uses loving kindness, and most of them use, I think, mercy or something like that. But it's so true. You know, what do? You know, you command it, you trust the Lord, you just praise him, and you give thanks for his mercy, right? And that's what we did, and by the grace of God. You know, even our faith comes from God, doesn't it, folks? We don't have anything to brag about. It's by grace, and it's by grace through faith. And that's not from yourself. It's a gift from God, right? So stay close to the Lord, folks. He'll put faith in the people that love him, the people that desire after him, the people that are steadfast to renounce that old man and that old double-minded self. You know, praise be to God. He's a faithful God. He's merciful, too. You know, I just reminded the Lord, you know, of all the painstaking effort that Kevin put in doing those videos, one right after another, and storing them up. And Kevin has been working on the Hidden Manna series again. Michael Berger had a set that was that seemed to be a little bit better than the set we started with, and so Michael's been doing it over with a software that's was given to us, and has been a great blessing to us. It's like $1,000 software, and so he's been running it through there and re-editing it and re-slicing it and, you know, doing it, making one-hour programs out of it, and he was on schedule to finish that by the end of this month. And then this thing came up. Well, praise be to God for His mercy. That's all I can say. The verse hit it right on the head, you know, for all of His mercy that He bestowed upon us, you know, all of His great goodness towards the house of Israel, which He has bestowed on them according to His mercies. Glory to God. He's merciful. And Lord, please help us, Lord, to stay steadfast and not double-minded. It's plain, Lord, from James chapter 1 that double-mindedness is offensive to You, that we wouldn't believe You, our God, our Creator, that we wouldn't believe You, but we would walk by sight instead of Your precious Word after all the signs and wonders and miracles You've done for us and the salvation that You gave unto us, that we wouldn't believe You is... It's not a stretch for us to see that that could be offensive. And You said the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Think not that that man shall receive anything of the Lord. But yet, Lord, without Your grace, every last one of us would be double-minded. We would fail You time after time, Lord. It's by Your grace, Lord. You have put in us a desire to be pleasing unto You and to be faithful to Your word. And to walk in the Spirit, which is, of course, walking as You walked, walking as the Word depicts, walking in agreement with the Word rather than our senses. Thank You, Lord. Thank You that You've put that gift in us, Lord. Please continue this. We need it so desperately in the days to come. So many people, Lord, are coming out of the world that don't know these things, these simple things that are in Your Word, that they're there in black and white, not even hidden. So many people don't know these things, and they're being plundered by the devil. And we ask You, Lord, to help us to be faithful, to serve You, to submit to Your Word. We ask You to bring to our remembrance all these things that You have spoken unto us, Lord, in the midst of trials, in the midst of temptations, to revert back to walking in the flesh and giving heed to the eyes and the ears of this old man. Lord, we thank You. We thank You for Your mercy in giving us grace to stand up as a son of God, walk in the Spirit, speak those things that You would have us to speak, Lord. Speak to the mountain, so to speak, Lord, and believe that those things that we say will come to pass. And Lord, we thank You for this great miracle. Lord, it just saved us so much trouble and time and so much of a setback. We thank You, Lord, for this mighty miracle. We praise You indeed. Thank You, Lord. Thank You.